For those who don't know, we're making a wiki pretty simply named DataFact Wiki. It's just meant to be a resource with everything you could ever know about DataFacts, especially for beginners. There's loads of guides which how to make your first DataFact, but from there, many people don't really know where to go.
Hello, hello everyone. I'm Gears.
And I'm Mox Valix, and welcome to the DataPack Podcast. Episode 13?
Yes. Episode 13, and because we're doing these once every 2 weeks, that means that we've been doing it for 26 weeks, which is half a year.
Let's go.
Which is a less impressive milestone now that I say it. But for this, we've brought some guests on the show. It's not really our first guests, because we had Wolfie on before, but we have Flynn from DataPack Hub and Germany.
Hello.
Germany. Two countries. Wow.
DataPack Hub comes first, though.
Yeah.
And we also have Silabear.
Hello, I'm the ghost floating in the background.
So Silabear couldn't join us on the Minecraft server today, so you'll just see the two of us and Flynn. But he's here in spirit, okay?
I'm just the disembodied voice.
The disembodied voice of Silabear. Yeah.
Okay, here are two of the three admins from DataPack Hub. We would have liked to get all three of them, but Cobblestone couldn't unfortunately make it, and so it's just these two. Before we get started talking about DataPack Hub, I'll ask just the two of you to introduce yourselves and just tell us a bit about how you first got into DataPacks. So, Silabear, do you want to go first?
Yeah, so, of course, I'm Silabear, and I've been making DataPacks for about 2 years, 3 years maybe. I've lost track of time, it's been such a long time making them. So I first started when I used to watch a lot of Hermitcraft, so with like Grian and Mumbo Jumbo, and they always used to use cool DataPacks from Vanilla Tweaks, like that thing, I forgot what it's called, that lets you edit the armor stands. I saw that and I was like, wow. So yeah, from there I just decided to start making my own. So I first made a Manhunt one, inspired by, of course, Dream's Manhunt series. Thought that was a pretty simple one to get started with. And then after that, I just haven't stopped since.
Yep. And Flynn?
I'm Flynn. I honestly don't remember when I started making DataPacks. Well, I do know. It was like 4 years ago, but I don't know why I started. I think there was this German YouTuber called DeJoeCraft, which did a lot of command block stuff, and that kind of inspired me. And then when I got Java Edition, I stumbled upon Planet Minecraft and saw like lots of cool packs people were making, and then I started making some myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Cool. I think we all started, the three of us, at similar times. I probably started at some point during the pandemic, during lockdowns, because, you know, stuck at home. Nothing better to do. And I think Mox Valix has been like doing command blocks and stuff for longer, but
the amount of time I've been doing competent things versus the amount of time I've been doing things is different.
Yeah, all right,
well, the next question we have is, what is DataPack Hub? So the elevator pitch, we'll go more in depth later on in the episode, but just get the rundown of basically what it is. So how do we work this? Who wants to answer?
I can if you want. I've got some stuff written down. So
yeah, you can start.
In summary, I mean, yeah, so a lot of people will know this, but we're just a community all about Minecraft DataPacks, especially involving creators from Planet Minecraft, where like that's kind of where we started from. We can go into that a bit more later. And right now we've just tried to become the best place to teach people, especially beginners, about DataPacks. I mean, there's other places like Minecraft Commands who do that, but I think we're a bit of a different vibe, so we mainly try to help beginners and teach them about DataPacks. So that's pretty much the basics. I don't know, Flynn, if you have anything else to add.
Yeah, I think that's about it. It's also about like getting people together and so that different people can help each other. And not only get help, but also help others.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I think that's...
And, yeah. Go on.
Yeah, what I was going to say, I think that's really important because I feel like beginner resources and just resources for learning data packs can be quite hard. Like, it can be quite hard to pick up as a hobby, I guess. So I think it's really great having a community for people to learn to make data packs with.
Yeah. And I am actually part of the staff team at Datapack Hub. I'm an official helper. So, yeah. So how did Datapack Hub originally start?
Blind, do you want to answer this one first?
Yeah. I think when we and Scylla first met, sometime after that, we both were talking in my Discord server, in my personal one, and we kind of had the idea of creating Datapack Hub. And I don't know why we wanted to create it, honestly. Maybe you can answer that.
So if I remember correctly, it was a long time ago. It was around the same time that Planet Minecraft introduced their groups feature. And
oh, yeah.
I did a little bit of digging earlier. And so the first idea came about on the 15th of January, 2022, when I sent the message, do you want to make a group together? So on that day, me and who else was it? It was me, Flynn, Yokaius, Selfish Boy, and Crossy. Crossy's kind of inactive now on my own. And yeah, it was originally called Dynamic Data Packers Disco. I'm not proud of that at all. It's not the best name ever. Yeah.
That was my idea too, right?
Yeah. It was good, but an argument.
It wasn't.
No offense. Okay.
That's I'm an excellent name. That. I think you should have kept it, honestly.
Yeah, you should have kept it. Yeah. I don't remember it ever being called that. I remember when it was called Daily Data Packers. That was, I think I joined pretty early because, I think I first met you two in, I guess it would have been the Discord server of Timberforge? Yeah, is that where you two met as well?
We met on Planet Minecraft when Scylla left a comment on one of my projects. It was on my penguin data pack, and he said, they're so cute. And that's how we met.
Huh. I didn't actually know that.
Yeah. We were also both active on Timberforge, so that's probably where you met us, yeah.
But yeah, I met you there, and then I think I joined both your personal Discord servers. And then, yeah, I guess whenever you made that group public, I think I joined. Or maybe I didn't join the Planet Minecraft group, but I certainly joined the Discord server pretty soon after it was created. And so, yeah, I've known about Datapack Hub for a long time, but I only joined the staff team this year, right? It was like April, May?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I think I think MoxValix is certainly less active in Datapack Hub than I am. You don't really take part in that community as much. You were much more active in the Datapack Jam Discord when that was still going, but it's sort of stopped now for various reasons.
I'm not as personally, I'm not as big, I'm not as good in big Discords. I like to be able to keep track of all the messages being sent, and as soon as I lose track of the conversations, I find it hard to participate, I guess. I'm a lurker, I would say, in Datapack Hub. I'll check the announcements, occasionally check general, and often check memes. Although the memes have been a little bit dry, honestly.
They have, I know. It's
need to get,
Gaming Barn, got some friends one of the moderators.
Gaming Barn, the Gaming Barn flow dried up. It's very disappointing.
Yeah. it's a shame. I think I also find it that big Discord servers, I find it hard to keep track of because you leave for an hour, you come back and you have no idea what anyone's saying anymore. But honestly, I find Datapack Hub is just small enough for me to be able to keep track of most of the messages. Like, if there's a long conversation and I can see there's nothing of interest in it, then yeah, I just sort of skip through it. But like, a lot of the time I do read through most of the messages which go on there, and I find that fairly manageable if I have enough time.
Yes, yeah, so the next question is, how would you describe your role in Datapack Hub? And so I know you're both admins, but I'm meaning more what kind of things do you do in Datapack Hub? And is there anything maybe unique about what you bring to the table kind of thing as a Datapack Hub admin, I guess? Yeah, who would like to go first?
I can go first if you like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we share a lot of responsibility, me and Flynn. I think Cobble also does a lot. Not as much, I'd say, but we try to share our responsibilities equally. And also not just between us three, because some of the moderators, like, I know, Hidian and Pukki Silver, they're both really helpful in, like, just general discussions about what we should do as a community. But with that being said, I think we still have different things which we bring to the table. So, for example, I think I focus a lot more on the actual Discord server and, like, the systems and stuff that goes on behind the scenes.
Yep.
And I think Flynn does a bit more of the, well, I think Flynn, you can probably explain it better than I do, but more of the like funds in a way. So like, if I should say this, but our SMP and stuff.
Yeah. I don't know if we can talk about that, but yeah. I mean,
you can talk about whatever you want. It's your project.
Yeah.
We're happy to hear about your upcoming SMP. It sounds like,
The SMP has been coming for a long time, but I think it's coming together a lot more recently. Well, yeah, I try to organize the SMP and kind of make it work, especially like when we first started working on it, which was like a few months ago. I was really active organizing that. I also develop our Discord bot, which is Datapack Helper, which can be added to any Discord server. And it's in quite a lot of servers, actually. I don't know how many exactly, but it's a lot. It's like more than 100 now, more than 100. Yeah. Oh. And I never expected it to get that big. But yeah, that's basically what I do.
Yeah,
it was just other day, actually. I was just browsing through some other Discord servers, and I actually found like a Discord server which had Datapack Helper at the top of the list. And I was like, wow, that's impressive.
Yeah,
awesome. It's had a pretty, I mean, Datapack Helper is a super useful bot, especially as someone who uses the help channels a lot. Yeah, it's super helpful. Well, there's two main Discord bots in the Datapack Hub server. One of them is Datapack Helper, which is like the public bot, but there's also the Datapack Hub bot, which is your project, Silabear, and that is to do with a lot of the like admin of the server itself, so it automatically pings helpers when someone creates a help channel, and it can be used to like close the threads, and we just added it so that it automatically posts question of the day every day, so we wouldn't continuously forget to do that.
Rather than having a question of the sometimes.
Yeah.
Sorry, what was that you're saying? I kind of talked over.
I was just saying it's really all it does is behind the scenes. We actually only three of the commands, I think, normal members can actually use. So pretty much all of the bot is behind the scenes stuff.
So, yeah, it's either admin moderator stuff or like automated systems or stuff like that. But
yeah, I recently added statistics to it as well. So behind the scenes, about all the channels.
I love statistics, so statistics are one of my favorite things to like just know.
Statistics are so fun.
Even if they're like completely useless most of the time.
Yeah.
But yeah. And I think Cobblestone was doing a lot of like the website stuff when that was a thing. Cobblestone is interesting because he doesn't really make data packs. Like, I think he knows a lot of the basics of Datapacks through osmosis of being in a community of so many Datapack creators. But he handles a lot of the other stuff. Yeah, like the website or other projects, which I'm not sure if you want to talk about at all, so I won't mention those unless you do. If you want to go a little more in depth now, what is Datapack Hub about and what's its mission?
So, as I said at the start, it's really, we want to teach people about Datapacks, and especially beginners, because as you said, there's not that many resources. I think it's taken us quite a while to unilaterally agree that that's our, well, mission in inverted commas. You might know that a while back we started a website project where people could upload their own Datapacks, and that failed for a bunch of reasons. Firstly, Smith exists, Modrinth exists, Planet Minecraft exists, and they already do a pretty good job, so there wasn't really a reason for people to use our website. And it was around that time that I think we all decided that we wanted to focus more on helping people, because that's pretty much where the gap is in the Datapack like area. There's lots of places to upload them, lots of places to, well, there's lots of YouTubers communities where you can talk about them, but I think, at least for me, I really noticed a lack of places where you could actually get help, which was friendly and quickly. So, at least for me, that's what I think our mission is. I think Fly might have a bit of a different idea, but that's what I have to say on it, at least.
Yeah, no, I think I have the same idea. But also, what's really important is just the community, that you can just talk to people which have the same interest. But there's also a lot of different servers which also have a great community regarding Datapacks. So we're not really too special in that aspect, I think.
I think focusing on helping beginners is definitely a good place to go, because, yeah, I think definitely there's a lack of... There are quite a few places, people doing research into various things, but they're often geared towards, like, people who have a bit more of an in-depth understanding of Datapacks. Timberforge is how I first learnt Datapacks, really. I used to watch Timberforge, and that was sort of how I learned my fundamentals, like how to make custom items and custom blocks and custom entities and stuff like that. But obviously he's not really active anymore, hasn't been for a while, and so I think, yeah, it's good to have resources that are suited for beginners. In general, there's not a lot of comprehensive documentation on Datapacks. I mean, there's the Minecraft Wiki, which has a lot of information, but it definitely has some missing elements. And I think it can be quite sort of technical and sometimes difficult to understand. And also, it's not designed for Datapacks, really. Right, it's designed for general Minecraft knowledge and understanding, and some areas it's definitely lacking.
That's a pretty good segue. I think at this time it's appropriate to talk about our wiki, which we're making, because it's really close to being done. That pretty much tries to fix a lot of the things you just said. So for those who don't know, we're making a wiki pretty simply named Datapack Wiki, and that's just meant to be a resource with everything you could ever know about Datapacks. Well, in theory, I mean, there's a lot to it. And again, gearing back to what I said at the start, especially for beginners, there's not really a good resource with how to get started, and once you've got started, there's loads of guides which are like how to make your first Datapack, but from there, many people don't really know where to go. So our project, which is a Datapack Wiki, is trying to solve that by having lots and lots of next steps, resources, and what else can I say? I guess about help channels as well. That's going to be a really useful resource to go to. Let's say someone asks a really easy question about, how do I do XYZ in an item modifier? We can just point them towards our wiki. So I think that when it's released, our wiki is going to be a really really strong resource that's especially going to help beginners. And that kind of fixes a lot of what you were saying about the Minecraft wiki not having much about DataPacks. But until it's released publicly, there's probably, I probably shouldn't say much more about it.
Yeah. Well, okay, I don't know. Yeah, I don't want to, like, say anything which you want to keep private information for now, but I'll just say, as someone who has worked on the wiki, I think it's, I really like the way it's coming together. I think it's, yeah, it is definitely fulfilling, like, a lot of those, or solving a lot of those problems with the Minecraft wiki. Yeah, I think just generally the Minecraft wiki can be explained in quite technical terms, and I think just having this one, which is sort of explained in sort of English more, as in, like, you know, words that hopefully the average whoever understands without having too much technical knowledge of how the game works in depth, you know, I think it'll definitely help. And there are certainly times when I've been helping in a help channel, and then I was like, oh, if only the wiki was public and I could link to the page on so-and-so now. Like, so yeah, I'm excited for when it releases. I wish I'd had, like, more time to work on it, because I've done some stuff, but I've been pretty busy in general, especially, like, this past month or so, and I haven't touched it in a long time.
I feel like a really big area, and I think a lot of... Now, obviously, I don't know what the content of this wiki is, but I think a lot of things I notice about other Datapack resources and, like, the Minecraft wiki and stuff is a lot of it describes the things you can do with Datapack. So, like, obviously, all the JSON, the fields in the JSON, all the commands you can... But then it doesn't... I feel like there's not a good resource explaining how to combine these and what hacks you can use to get the outcomes you're looking for, right? Because there's the advancement, for example, player interact with entity, right? But the Minecraft wiki doesn't really explain that you can tie that advancement with an interaction entity and have a right-clickable, like, you know, section of your map, right? And it's really, I feel like those are the hard parts of data packing, is learning how to combine the different elements that we've been given to, I guess, create something new, right? Now, obviously, I can't speak for whatever is on this wiki, but I'm really hoping that, you know, that will be a focus, is, like, showing beginners how to combine these elements.
Yeah. I would say myself that I think the official Minecraft wiki is much more documentation than an actual wiki. We're definitely not trying to just be documentation. We definitely want to explain stuff more.
Yeah.
There's going to be sort of two sections in the wiki. There's going to be the wiki section, which is going to be sort of indexed by feature. So there'll be a page on, like, there'll be a page for different commands, a page for different file types, like advancements, loot tables. And then there's also the guide section, which have specific guides on how to do certain things, which a lot of them are already in the Datapack helper bot, but we've written, or we'll always be writing new ones. And so, yeah, those will be especially focused on, like, how can you combine various elements to make something, like, something coherent, right? And also, the nice thing with having the combination of those is that they can cross-reference each other, right? So the guides can be like, oh, hey, we're using this feature, so if you don't know how this works, go check out the wiki page on that. And on the wiki page, it can be like, hey, this feature is useful in these specific circumstances, go check out the guides on those if you want to see how to do them. Yes. And, like, I think that combination of the two of them is going to be very helpful.
I love hyperlinks.
Yeah.
And even those can be automated, so that any guide links to a wiki page, the wiki page will automatically just link to, like, here, it's mentioned in these guides, and these are the things which use it, or whatever.
Yeah, that's quite a good idea, actually. I might start working on that.
Yeah, that was just random thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Flynn, is there anything you want to add about the wiki?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah. I mean, I think, Silabear, you're sort of taking charge of that project in terms of general, like, organization. Yeah. And yeah, Cobblestone is definitely helping on the, like, website aspect of it. But I think Flynn's not super...
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, once it's public and more time, I would be happy to contribute some, you know, maybe some write-ups on some data pack hacks that I love. Because any long-time listener to the podcast will know that packs are my favourite parts of data.
They're just the best parts of data packing.
Yeah. When you take
That's what makes data packs so interesting, in my opinion.
Yeah. Just the way that you take different elements that you wouldn't normally think to combine, or you wouldn't... Like, it's a side effect of some internal implementation that Mojang has done, and you combine those features and then you get something is really just the coolest thing.
My favorite thing has been documenting all of the technical commands, like /data/scoreboard. Actually, no, I didn't do /scoreboard, but stuff like that, which I am very familiar with now that I've been working on technical data packs for so long. And just like sharing that knowledge, which I've sort of figured out over all that time. Like I really enjoyed doing that. Cause I feel like technical data packs are one side which aren't explored so much.
Well,
possibly because like data packs aren't really made for technical data packs. And so a lot of the features are sort of geared towards, you know, your sort of standard data packs like gameplay features or whatever. But you can definitely achieve some pretty complex behavior, as we've shown, and I just really enjoyed writing the articles on those.
I mean, yeah, you even learned. Sorry, we're getting quite off topic of Datapack Hub now. But you even learned about the like, almost the splat syntax that allowed you to.
Yeah, actually, I was doing some research because I do use the Minecraft Wiki as sort of a reference to make sure I haven't missed anything. When I'm writing pages, and I'm looking at the wiki for MBT paths, which are like, I won't go into too much detail now. And but I learned that like there are so many things you can do with them that I had no idea you could do before, which was kind of cool. So other than the Datapack Wiki, is there any other projects that you want to talk about, either of you, that the Datapack Hub works on?
Line, do you want to talk about the SMP a bit?
Yeah, the SMP, we've been working on it for quite some time. We wanted to be a Minecraft server where people from our community can just play with each other, but we don't want it to be boring and like die out after a month. So we've kind of been focusing on thinking about unique features which we can add. We also put a lot of effort into the spawn, which looks really awesome. You should probably get excited for seeing that. We put a lot of secrets everywhere. But I don't know how soon it will be coming out because we wanted to release it for 500 members, I think, and we just keep pushing it back because everybody kind of gets distracted.
1,800 members, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit over.
Yeah. Maybe we can do it for 2,000 members, but... I don't know. We'll have to see.
No promises.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, the SMP is probably the Datapack Hub project I know the least about because I haven't looked that much into like the channel about that in the server, in the staff server, because like discussions happen, but I've never really been into that. Maybe I'll look at it. I haven't really properly seen like the spawn or whatever either. Definitely exciting.
I think a lot of the discussion also happened before you joined our staff team.
Yeah,
and we did
think
it
so
in
too.
A separate channel in our main server. Mm. So that's maybe why you missed it.
Yeah. Both the server which we're currently in a Discord call on and the Datapack Hub server have like so many private channels. Like it's sort of a running joke in both servers, right? So in Datapack Hub, there's like a load of archive channels.
Yeah.
Is there more archive channels than public channels? There might be.
Yeah,
probably.
There is.
I noticed that the Minecraft Live channel disappeared, so I assume that got archived.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. A lot of things got archived.
I opened up Datapack Hub and I was like, why is there just a big red arrow and I can't see any messages? And I was like, it's in Minecraft Live.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and in this server we have like a different channel for all of our projects we're working on. And I think at this point we do have more like development channels than public channels.
Yeah.
And definitely many more messages get sent in. We mostly use this server as a way to coordinate our own development than a way to like talk to other people, because not a lot of activity happens in this.
Yeah, as a public server, it's pretty dead, but as a development server, it's pretty active.
There's about 25 of our 35 or so members haven't sent a single message in this server ever, which is kind of funny.
Also, because we've also got in Datapack Hub, we've got a separate staff server. And it's
That's got a lot of channels.
Staff
as well.
Servers, but it's massive. There's like loads of channels. We have in total around 5 or 6 staff general channels, and it's so confusing.
Oh right, yeah. There are so many, aren't there?
I have them open. We've got a staff general channel in our normal Discord server. We've got a staff general channel in our staff server. We've got a general channel about our normal Discord server in our staff server. We've got a general channel about our website in our staff server, and one about the bot. It's crazy.
Yeah. And it used to be that the general about the website in the public server and the general about the bot in the public server were also just called general.
Yeah.
So
that added extra to the thing. Sometimes I do see. Maybe what we should do is add different emojis to the different general channels. So at least you can like see it just like by the name, you can see which one it is.
Yeah.
Cause sometimes you just see general and just like, which general is this? I wonder.
Yeah. I've just checked. We've actually in our archives, we've got 2 separate channels called Website General, and they both have pretty much the exact same conversations in them.
Bot General has just become Bot Commands 2. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Nobody actually talks about the bot. They just use the bot commands in there. And we have to tell them every time, actually, this is. Wrong channel.
Yeah.
That's not a channel I would think would exist, but I guess it does. Bot General.
Yeah, I mean, I thought people would talk about the bot, and if any problems would come up, they would want to talk about it. But I guess there's just not any problems.
Well, I mean,
which is not a bad thing.
Actually,
yeah.
Except when
0 bucks.
Well, no. Let's not talk about specific server members here. But there was one person who complained about the bot quite a lot, so we banned them from using the bot, and now they don't say anything anymore.
Wasn't sweet. It's always
No, it wasn't. Unfortunately, not.
My headcanon is it's still Sleet. It's not. Sorry, Sleet, if you're listening.
No, Sleet and this person definitely are not. About that, I mean, there's quite a lot of things that go on which are just sort of like running jokes or pieces of lore which happen in Datapack Hub. Funny little or interesting little things which happen, and there's been quite a lot of them. So what are both of your favourite pieces of Datapack lore? Datapack Hub lore.
Flying, you can go.
Okay. I think it's hard to decide, but I find it really funny that there's a website dedicated to Datapack Hub lore, which was started by some of our members, which is not complete at all. There's only one event in there, which is our pregnancy. It was an April Fool's joke. A really bad one. But that's my favorite piece of Datapack Hub lore.
That is excellent.
Yeah, that is the pregnancy.
You're gonna have to explain that now. Why are you pregnant? I'm very confused.
I don't know. I kind of thought it would be funny as an April Fool's joke, but like way too many people actually congratulated me and thought I was being serious. So I kind of regretted it like 10 minutes after sending it. Yeah.
Oh, I remember that. Oh, yeah. That was this year. I woke up on April Fool's Day and I was like, let me check Discord. And I saw that you got from the staff team to draw up an artwork of you two with you as pregnant. And
I think
can we get that on screen, please? Can we get that on screen in the podcast?
Yeah, I'll put that up on the screen.
Whoever edits this, the person who drew that image specifically said, please don't mention them. So can you just put a beep over
that?
Oh, that's
true.
Okay, I'll beep out the name. Yep. All right.
I think we didn't even ask them to draw the picture. They just started.
Oh, they just drew it. Okay.
Honestly, based. Okay, that is an excellent
That was just before I joined the staff team, so... Yeah, I wasn't.
Look, I would have been convinced to join as well if that's the kind of lore that's happening.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna be part of the staff team so I can help. No, that's not quite how it happened, but yeah. And how about you, Silo Bear?
I quite like the Duck Revolution. Mostly because I still to this day have no idea what that was all about. I woke up one day and everyone had become ducks, started quacking everywhere. So that was interesting.
Yeah, I don't actually remember what started that, but I definitely that one was Sleet. That was definitely Sleet.
I think I talked about ducks because I can't talk about it too much because it's linked to my personal life in quite an interesting way. But like, I think 2 years ago, I started bringing up ducks, and then suddenly everybody started reacting to my messages with ducks. And now I started talking again, and that kind of set off the entire revolution. But yeah.
Oh, okay.
Starting a duck revolution. Wild.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember renaming myself to Duck Valix at some point. So
yeah.
I think I may I, have
I
been
do remember
somewhat
you
involved.
Were definitely. Yeah, you definitely were called that for some time. Although I seem to remember because you're not super active in Datapack Hub, you sort of didn't realize that the Duck Revolution was over. And so you were named Felix for like a long time after everyone had changed their nicknames back.
It was probably months, to be honest. I don't bother doing that stuff very often.
Yeah.
You know, it would have been on brand if I was still named Duck Valix to this day. But I think I named myself something else.
No,
in the
you
interim.
Definitely. Yeah, I think some discussion about Australia, and you said something.
Yeah, I think I was named
nickname.
I think I was named Oi for a bit.
Oh yeah.
And
I was named King Charles in the Datapack Hub Discord server for quite a long time.
I remember people in the help channels just like, oh yeah, Charles said this, and I was like,
yeah. I know. after that, I was like, you know what, maybe I'll revert. Yeah, by the time people started saying like Charles as my actual name and like not knowing who I was, like then I switched it back. But I was probably named that for a good few months.
That's great.
Yeah.
Was that after there was someone we were talking about, this is just more Datapack Hub shenanigans. Someone was defending the monarchy in some country. So that was interesting.
Not me. Well, I think I jokingly defended the British monarchy, but not actually.
Defending the British monarchy is wild.
It was probably Slee. He talks a lot about the king.
Yeah, you know, it's always Sleet. Alright, I guess the next question is favorite data packer. So, and it can't be yourself.
Other than yourselves.
Yeah. So, can be anyone that makes data packs.
I don't know. I'd say Scylla Bear.
Yeah. So, I wrote down Yokai S. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. He I just looking at his earlier, and I think his projects are all really creative. Like, he manages to blend love for art in with like his 3D models and his coding really well. I think mm-hmm. it makes for some really, really nice data facts.
Interesting. Yeah. Because I know who they are. Like, I've seen them in Discord a few times, but I'd never actually really checked out their Planet Minecraft page or whatever. I've never seen any of their data packs. I'll take a look afterwards. And I guess on a similar note, we talked about this in our last episode, a couple episodes ago between the two of us, but what's your favourite data pack, single data pack that you didn't work on?
Brian, do you have one for this?
I have quite a lot of data packs which I worked on and then stopped working on, but I don't know if that counts.
No, I mean like...
Other person's data pack.
Data packs.
Oh.
That you weren't involved with making is specifically.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a tricky one.
Yeah.
Well, I wrote down a couple if you want me to go first.
All right.
Yeah, sure.
I wrote down three on my list. The first one is Floorcraft by Hashs. Hashs is a Planet Minecraft moderator. And I remember playing with that one a year or so ago. And it was just really like amazing how they managed to create like this kind of magic data pack, which tied all the different parts in together. So for those of you that don't know, Floorcraft is like a data pack which adds natural magic using stuff like flowers, forest essences and stuff. And they managed to just make it all work well, it worked together really, really well. So yeah, that's the first one on my list. I also wrote down Mine Treasure by Frozy Time. This is one where you go mining, sometimes you can get little rewards from it, such as custom items, like relative to where you're mining, how you like time of day, stuff like that. I just think that's really cool. Like, it's his own mini cave update in a way. I just think that was so cool how he managed to, again, kind of saying the same thing as before, but how he managed to make it all work together so well. Because I think one of the things that makes the data pack really, really good is when it's managed to like tie in with the actual Minecraft world so well.
I would definitely agree with you on that.
Some people say that like, oh, this is too mod like it doesn't really fit in the game, but there are some people, such as the two I've just mentioned, who managed to like make it fit in really, really well. And those are just the data facts which I really enjoy playing.
And you said you had three, is that right?
Oh yeah, I did. The third one, just New in Town by Kanakara. He's one of our helpers. I think this is a bit different from the other two, as in it's really obvious how much of a mod it is, but he's made it like its own little game within Minecraft, but it still works really well as being a game within Minecraft. It's a bit like Minecraft Legends, so you have to build your own little settlement while piglins are attacking you. But it's like, it works as its own Minecraft experience or Minecraft world. So I'm probably not explaining this very well, but it's like a different game, but made within Minecraft, but it still works really, really well.
Yeah, I think... Honestly, I haven't really... I know of Mine Treasure, and I know of New in Town, but I never really played them. I feel like I don't play data packs enough. Like, I make a lot of data packs, and I play around with creating data packs quite a lot, but I don't actually play data packs that other people have created, or even data packs that I've created that much. I mostly play in, like, vanilla, which I probably should, like, look at other data packs and play them a bit more. I think I know there are some amazing data packs out there. Maybe I'll look into the ones you mentioned and have a look at them.
I think that's also the reason why I couldn't think of a favorite data pack, just because I don't really play with data packs. I just make them. And then sometimes I just check out data packs which are there and look at them, but I never really play them, so I don't really remember too many.
Yeah, I think that's similar with me. I do sometimes like browse Modrinth or or Planet Minecraft or whatever and look at data packs. But yeah, I haven't actually played a lot of them. Well, the one I said I think was GoBlox when we talked about it on our last one, which is made by you, Silabear. It's a technical data pack, which is right up my alley. It's like sort of Scratch in Minecraft, or it's inspired by MC Diamondfire, I think, which we mentioned that on the podcast before. But I really like the way it was made and like it was well put together and interesting.
Because
last time when we made that, I said I sent you a screenshot a while ago of the very last page of Modrinth when you sort by recently updated, and GoBlox was right on the end, and you had said that's enough motivation for me to never update it again. I just assumed that was it. But since then you've started rewriting it or whatever, and
I think it just has so much potential that it'd be a shame not to.
It definitely
whether I'm
does, yeah.
Put it on the same thing. I do like the title of having the
least recently updated.
So obviously you just make a new project called Reforged. just GoBlox Reforged, and it's just the rewrite.
Yeah.
Every mod update is called Reforged.
Yeah.
Or rewritten. Or
refabricked.
Refabricked, real.
But I think the two sort of styles of data packs you mentioned are, in my opinion, like some of the best kinds of data packs. Like the ones which are like which fit very well with the existing game and very much feel like they're part of the game and sort of just and just fit in with the general Minecraft vibe or whatever. And also the ones which use Minecraft sort of as a platform to create their own games or whatever. Like one thing I like a lot is Decked Out from Hermitcraft, from Tangatech.
Yes.
It's not made with a data pack, it's made with pure redstone, which is like taking it to an entire another level, right? The whole thing of Decked Out is like it doesn't feel like you're playing Minecraft. It feels like you're playing its own game. But it very much uses the mechanics of Minecraft to facilitate how it works. You know, it uses and because it's done all in vanilla with redstone, with the exception of like custom music discs and stuff like that, it needs to use existing game mechanics for everything. So, for example, he used the sweet berry bushes for a source of food because they like replenish fairly quickly, so that in the time when the game resets, they're pretty likely to regrow. And also, they give like just a small amount of food, and it's like the perfect thing for that. And it's just like using those little game mechanics and features to make your own game is really cool, in my opinion.
I'm just gonna add back to before. I feel as well, I barely play any Minecraft data packs as well. Although I even feel like I barely play Minecraft. I have a bit of a joke that I like to say is that I spend most of my time in Minecraft in VS Code.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I barely
infamy.
Actually play.
Like I don't get a lot of time to play Minecraft, just like survival Minecraft or whatever now. But yeah, I still do spend a lot of time. Like if you look at my Prism launcher, my main instance, which is where I usually play like survival and stuff, that's got mods and stuff for like quality of life mods and stuff, which is like what I'm playing on now. That's got 4 days of total playtime. My data pack development instance has 7 days of total playtime. My snapshot instance has 11 days of playtime. And that was when we were developing Code of Copper in the snapshots, and we just spent hours just like poring over it and implementing new features. Yeah. And even then, I barely use that anymore. I mostly use my Datapack development one. It's still like way above. It's like the other two combined, which is crazy. Yeah.
Keeping up with the snapshot cycle is so fun. Sorry, tangent again. Yeah. Another favorite thing about data packs is each snapshot trying to figure out a unique way to use the new thing that's been added. So trying to see, I could do this with this thing. So, for example, is it called the creaking? I think that's what it's called. Thing.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that could, and I haven't actually tested it yet, but that could be a really cool way of doing like detection of where a player is looking with redstone. So you could, like, if the creaking is moving, you could have like a tripwire hook that, as it like moves up the water stream or whatever, hits the tripwire hook, and you know the player isn't looking in that direction, but then or something like that, and as soon as the player looks away, then obviously it moves and gets off of the tripwire hook or something like that, right? I don't know, I haven't actually fleshed out a contraption for it, but just seeing cool ways. Like, the other example is like when 23W03A, when the string, the substring source was introduced, and just immediately theory crafting on all of the things I could do with being able to split a string up into different segments. That's still the highlight of my data packing, I'll say.
Yeah.
I think we've mentioned that snapshot in pretty much every episode of this podcast. It feels like it.
Several times, sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is definitely our most discussed snapshot. Yeah, so, well, we talked about what your favorite data pack is that somebody else made. But what about your favorite data pack that you made, or at least helped make?
I used to work on this data pack called Hexenwerk, which basically adds a new magic system to Minecraft, with like lots of different spells and wands. And my favorite feature is like that it displays the spell which you have currently selected in the upper left corner of your screen. And it works with all screen sizes and GUI sizes. And I even made it so that the name is data-driven and the texture which is displayed. So it's all just defined in the book data, which you then put onto the wand, which was super cool. So that's probably what I'm most proud of. But it's currently outdated and I need to update it. But
it's a running joke that you haven't updated it in a very long time.
Yeah.
In the Datapack Hub server. People are using it, like, you know, that joke that was going around, like, we got blah 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 before GTA 6. I feel like people use Hexenwerk being updated as like a similar thing as like,
we're getting GTA 6 before Hexenwerk.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But yeah, whenever someone's asked, like, what if you could ask a genie for one wish, what would it be? And they're like, to update Hexenwerk. It comes up quite a lot. I remember helping you test that, like, when you were first working on it.
Oh,
Yeah,
the funny thing is, it was the first data pack I published under a different name. I think I called it the Magic Data Pack, which was like, I don't know, three years ago at this point.
It was when you were
rewriting it, and then you helped me test it like, I don't know, a year ago or something.
Yeah. And how about you, Silabear?
Okay, so I've just been looking, and it's kind of difficult for me to pick. But I would say that my favourite ones that I've made are the ones which haven't really been done before as a data pack. So stuff like realistic item drops, that was a mod before I made it. My world edit one, Bear Edit, nice name. That it kind of had been done, but I think I was the first one to do it with the new macros. So it was a very different kind of vibe to the previous ones like Bling Edit. And also... Yeah. probably my favorite one, which I still like to play with, is Real Time Link, which basically links your Minecraft time to the real world time. That's kind of like the stuff you make a technical data fact, because it also lets people kind of access the time. And the other day, actually, someone DM'd me on Discord asking if they could use it for like their own little project. So I think it's really cool to see me being the first person to do something. Mm-hmm. And also, those are also like the most popular ones. Like, that's not necessarily something I'm too bothered about, but it's nice to see like how that's kind of what people want, in a sense, is something new that hasn't been done before. And so that gives me enough motivation to create it and enjoy creating it.
Yeah. Yeah, one thing I like to do, even if I don't always finish the project, is like trying to recreate something in Minecraft or in a data pack that, like, there isn't necessarily an original idea, but hasn't been done in a data pack before. Like say, Bear Edit, right? That obviously World Edit exists, but it's a mod or a plugin. And so like recreating that with a data pack, because data packs have that sort of limitation to them, that like they weren't designed to make, they were designed like in a certain way, and a lot of things aren't necessarily the primary function of it. So like, for example, Code of Copper, that's got to be my favorite data pack that I've worked on.
100%.
That's the main project that well, that's how we sort of started working together.
Yeah.
And that's like, obviously there are plenty of programming languages, right? Hundreds, thousands. But how many programming languages have there been in that are implemented in Minecraft with a data pack? Like, I mean, there have been a few before Code of Copper, but none in the same way, because we took advantage of the new string parsing system. In, I'm going to say it again, 23W03A.
Oh, I get chills every time I hear that snapshot.
Yeah. I can still remember when I first read the changelog and I was like, oh my god, this is what I've been waiting for all this time.
Yeah.
Doing, like, recreating stuff from the outside world in Minecraft data packs is, like, one of my favorite pastimes. Because I find it hard to come up with original ideas. I feel like I'm not so much of an ideas guy. I do like challenging myself to implement things with data packs.
Linking back to what you said about real life stuff, that's something I've really wanted to focus more on doing, like making data packs, which use things from real life, like things you might actually do. Like, especially because I'm really into science and stuff, trying to recreate that kind of stuff. I recently tried start making a DNA editing data pack, and I actually got pretty hard. I realized that just Minecraft wasn't actually developed enough to actually have enough interesting stuff to put in that. Like, I wanted to be able to take the DNA from a creeper that makes it explode and put that into another animal, but I found not enough entities actually had that kind of interesting things you could do with it.
Yeah.
So I kind of gave up.
Oh, that's, but it's just so cool.
Making cat girls in Minecraft is wild. that sounds awesome.
Stuff like that. That is really my current sort of favorite thing to do.
I think this is why I love technical data packs and stuff, because it is just doing stuff that, you know, shouldn't be done, like cursed things in Minecraft data packs. And I really relate to, I think it was Silo Bear's point, it's been a while since it was said, about like, you know, feeling like it's got to be something novel, something new, because I feel like I struggle to get motivation on any project that I feel like has been done to death, or like, you know, it's just a X clone, or it's just a, you know, Y something Minecraft, but kind of thing.
Yeah. Minecraft, but Silo Bear drops OP loot.
We don't talk about that.
Yeah, what's the story behind that again? Because I remember seeing it somewhere, but I'm not sure the context.
It was the data pack that Flying made. Was it an April Fool's thing, or?
I don't think so. I think I don't remember.
I won some kind of bet, and I was like, make this data pack.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. That's great. Like that. Oh.
That, yeah.
That's more, that, did, you know, did that's one my of you also make pack hub lore.
Did one of you also make Minecraft but Bedrock drops OP loot? I feel like...
Yeah, did I you think
make
so.
That yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
It's a joke. Just to kind of make fun of all the OP loot packs. Yeah. And actually, yeah. A surprising amount of people downloaded it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Minecraft but Silabear drops OP loot has like 120 downloads on Modrinth. And I don't know why anyone would download that. Like, why?
Yeah, that is kind of funny.
That's great. Yeah.
Well,
I'm just looking at the time. We're at hour 20. So we probably should get around to the last few questions, start wrapping up. The last question is, do you have a question for us to answer? Does anyone have any questions?
I will say, because this is about Data Pack Club, of course, that's why you brought us on here. Yep. I wanted to ask what you guys think about it. Like, if there's any feedback you have for us about our project.
That's a good question. Is, I think maybe I'll get you to go first, because I still need to ruminate on this one.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think as an overall thing, like, as an overall project, I think it's really well put together, especially the Discord server. Like, that is, it's very well organized and it works very well for 99% of the time, except when, you know, some things inevitably don't always go your way. Like, some people just are a bit of a jerk or whatever, and there's not much you can do about that. I think trying to get some of those other projects finished and public, I think would just be a general good thing to do, because I see a lot of promise in the Datapack Wiki, for example. But I think, obviously, everyone at Datapack Hub's a volunteer, so, you know, and they all have their own lives, so time is limited, but, like, getting some proper organization on that, or better organization, and just trying to get stuff like that prioritized maybe a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and stopping.
I think that would be good, because, like, once the Datapack Wiki is public and like a bit more complete, I think it's going to be a super helpful resource, and I'd really like to see it come to fruition, and not just sort of sit on the back burner for lots of time, being like something which could have been great but never really got enough steam behind it or whatever.
Also, with a failed website, I think something that led to that kind of not being as good as it could is that when we actually did launch it public after a really long time of waiting, didn't really do much of a big announcement or like leading up to it, we just kind of released it. So
yeah.
I think
once we've
actually finished that, we want to make sure like there's some hype about it before we release it. So, I mean, at least for me, I'm trying to subconsciously think about how we can just, like, introduce it into the data packing community. Like, being awkward, if you see what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Mox Felix, do you have any... I mean, I know, as we've said, you're not super active, but is there anything...
It's tricky. I'm not really... I probably... Okay, well, I'll give the joke answer first. Needs more memes. You need to bully Gaming Barn to come back.
I think we should start offering a position on the staff team of official meme poster.
Official meme poster, and they're expected to post at least 5 memes per day. I think that's fair. To be able to have the role, you know, a very important role. But honestly, I think the server's like really great. I think you guys have done a really good job at like growing an active community, and I think you really are achieving your goal of being a place where data packers can come and ask questions and learn. Obviously, I'm not the most active person, but from what I do see when I see there is it's like It's got a really great vibe, I'll say. So I don't have much more to say. I think just, you know, keep doing what you do best. Keep it up, I guess. Yeah. Good job.
And one other thing I'll add, which I like a lot about Datapack Hub, before you can ask a question, Flynn, is that it's still a sort of small enough community. Like, it's a pretty big community. It's got, I think we just passed 1,800 members a few days ago. But it's still sort of small enough that there's a little bit of a personal touch in there, you know? So, like, it's still small enough that you can have, like, little jokes and bits of lore or whatever, and that it doesn't feel like it's too much of a impersonal thing. Like, I feel like I still recognize most of the names in there, and I know most of the people who are active there and stuff like that. And I feel like once a community gets beyond a certain point, it sort of loses that a bit. But Datapack Hub is still in that phase.
The Goldilocks.
And I like that.
Yeah, it's kind of a double-edged sword, because we do want to grow it, but at the same time, we don't want to lose the kind of community feel. So,
Okay, Flynn, do you have anything you want us to ask?
If there was one feature you could add to make data packing easier, or one command, what would you choose to add?
Oh, well, we just had a two-part episode about that, so...
Are we allowed to reuse one from there? Okay. Do you want me to go, Gears, or do you want to...
Yeah, go on.
All right. I need a second to think. The one that I said, and this is I've had this for ages... slash inventory, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this command would allow you to view the inventory of any block or entity, right? As well as being able to define data storage based inventories. So you'd be able to, maybe there's like an inventory registry, and you could say, at this storage location, there's this inventory, and it is of the, like, dropper type, or it is of the chest type, right? So it knows which GUI to use. And then you would be able to interact with these inventories with slash item commands, as well as with the data modify commands, and you would be able to show the inventory at any time to a player on the... and this would be for making, like, custom GUIs. And also, it's just good for, like, server admins as well, for being able to see a player's inventory, stuff like that. So, yeah, that's my wish list. My command wish, I guess. Yes?
Yeah, I mean, I think, for me, it's hard to pinpoint one, but I think one which I definitely mentioned a couple times in the last episode or two, this would never actually get added to datapacks because it goes against all the principles, but like some way to use HTTP to interface with some other server outside of Minecraft would just be so fun to play around with. And like in terms of like recreating things which already exist, but in Minecraft, like it would like allow you to do so much stuff.
They can do that on Bedrock.
Can you?
Yeah, with the Bedrock behavior packs, they have like JavaScript scripting, and they added an HTTP module to that, so you can actually do that on Bedrock. I'm so jealous.
That's wild.
Yeah, I mean, you can do it with Java for sure.
I guess mods, the behavior plugins. Packs get like vetted though, but right?
Yeah, you got to like officially
the ones on the market,
release it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But yeah, like that's never something that I'd add for datapacks, because datapacks are meant to be sandboxed and safe and whatever, but it would be fun. It's fun to dream, and it would be fun to play around with. Cobblestone, the
to Minecraft.
But yeah, Cobblestone, the third admin of Datapack Hub, has a plugin. It's a plugin, right? Not a mod, called Cocktail. where he's implemented a few data pack features, and an /HTTP is one of them. And I should download it and play around with it at some point. I think that would be fun to try and make something.
GDPR cookie banners to Minecraft. No, but that's definitely a data pack we should do, is implementing the internet. That would be really fun.
Yeah.
I'm sort of planning to do something like that. It wouldn't interface with external things, but it would be like like sort of internet protocol within Minecraft.
Yeah.
I was going to do a YouTube video about it, but I never got around to it.
But it'd be super cool, like implementing like packets and like just as a way to learn all of those things, like implementing like TCP and then like
SSL. I wasn't going to implement like an actual internet spec. I was just sort of going to mimic the general behavior, but it would be cool to like make a spec compliant TCP server
and then
or whatever.
Make Firefox, compiling Firefox to Minecraft Data Pack.
That'll
come after the virtual machine.
The
last question we got, we should probably wrap it up because we are over time.
Yeah, it's been fun talking to you guys. We maybe didn't have as much to talk about Datapack Hub itself as we might have hoped, but we got to talk with the two of you about various things. It's been fun. Anything you want to like plug or promote, other than we'll leave a link to the Datapack Hub Discord server and I guess the website, which just gives a little bit of information and stuff, but anything else you want to like say? It can be like related to Datapack Hub or a personal project or something if you want.
Not particularly. I mean, if you want to download any of mine or Flying's data packs, we both have ModRinth and Planet Minecraft pages, so you can check us out there. But of course, make sure to join Datapack Hub as well. That's the most important.
Yeah, that's what I would have said. Just join Datapack Hub.
Links are in the description, so and in the show notes if you're audio only. Make sure you go down there, click join Datapack Hub. You'll have a good time. That's the only takeaway you should have from this podcast, really.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us today and being our first proper guest. This is a bit of an experimental format for us, still trying to figure out how it's going to work and everything.
Thank you for inviting us, and bye.
It's been lovely to talk to you. I've never really done anything like this before, but it's been good. Thanks for inviting us.
Of course. And potentially in the future we might invite the two of you individually to talk about like your separate things if you want to do that at some point. I guess we will see you around.